Blog Talk Radio.
This is Judah Becker at Mercy House Ministry. Thank you for calling. Unfortunately, I'm not able to answer the phone.
Well, it's 6:06, and I had a show set up today with Walt Rubel in the second hour and my friend Judah Becker in the first hour, as I mentioned, and I'm waiting to get a call from Judah, and we were going to discuss, as you recall, before all this stuff in the Supreme Court happened, the history of revivals and how revivals have affected the public policy and the American Revolution and stuff, but we will wait for him to call in. In the meantime, there is this is an incredible time to be alive, folks. There's a couple of things to be aware of. Number one, we're talking about Greece falling into insolvency, and it's just incredible. In the meantime, the Supreme Court continues to make headway in a direction that only can be described as to the left. Here's one headline: Supreme strike again. States can't force voters to prove citizenship. That's just, I just find this whole thing so crazy. Let me ask you this: if you can't force people to prove their citizenship, even with something basic, like a, some sort of a card or whatever, does the state have any power in elections? Anyway, it is just, in this city, people can have the right to rescind their vote without even showing up and proving that they are who they are. And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ted.
I just wanted to point out that the difference between one of the differences in the economics between the United States and Greece is that Greece, in being part of that Eurozone, cannot print up money.
Yeah,
we might be in the same shape as Greece if we couldn't print up money, because we are insolvent. We're only collecting about half in taxes that we need to finance our government. We're printing up or borrowing the rest.
That's incredible.
Which Greece cannot do.
That's incredible, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. I never, you know, it's funny. I never really knew how much our spending was over our tax increase or our tax base. And the fact of the matter is we're collecting more taxes. We collected more taxes this year than we've ever collected.
Probably so. You know, when you pump in $1 trillion a year for 8 years, there's got to be more money floating around.
Yeah. That's true about Greece. All right. So Greece is a situation, and there's a couple of countries over there like this, that I would even throw Ireland into this mix, Portugal, Spain, or whatever, who have never bought into the European model, the European Union model of coming in. And what they do is they have standards that we could not live up to over here in terms of the amount of public spending and the tax base and the interest rates and everything. Those countries never bought into it because they knew that there would be it would be hardship for them to come into these standards. And because of that, and because Europe could never get these non-compliant countries to cooperate, even though they're giving them trillions of euros, this is the collapse that we now see.
I think Germany's going to back out. They're getting tired of financing those governments down there, and they're, and the people of Greece are getting tired of this austerity stuff.
Well, I mean, how much austerity have they practiced? Now, here's an interesting thing, Ted. I was told, and I can't remember if it was by, I know I have some Greek friends, whether I was told by the friends or in a news clip, I'm trying to remember, that there is an enormous amount of public graft, there's an enormous amount of theft in the government, and that they were asking the politicians to give back all the monies that they, all of the euros that they had stolen.
Not only are they stealing, they don't collect much.
Their unemployment rate is 28%. That's higher than the highest level in the United States during the Great Depression.
Sure. That's right. That's what austerity brings. That's why we're printing up all this money, because the good times are going to end. I mean, every time Janet Yellen wants to even hint that she's going to raise the interest rate on that money that's being doled out, but what happens to the stock market? It takes a big dive.
Yeah. So what do you predict for the European Union?
Oh, I don't know. That's something that's kind of above my pay grade. But the point I wanted to make is just the parallels between what's happening over there and what might happen in our country.
Well, let me tell you one thing. If this guy, Timothy Geithner, the guy with the kind of pointy ears that look like an elf, who his advocacy when he was in the head of the Treasury was that we should decouple the American dollar from the world from world trade, which would have been an unmitigated disaster. We made a deal at Bretton Woods in which we agreed that the dollar would be the world currency, and that's the only thing that is keeping us from experiencing massive inflation.
That's right. And then also because the rest of the world is not in much better shape, people are holding U.S. dollars. All that those trillions of dollars that we're printing up, or people are actually hoarding physically in bank vaults and in holes in the ground. And that's why we really haven't seen that mega inflation that I'm predicting that's right around the corner.
Well, and it should be percolating up, they say, in the near future. My friend who works in the reinsurance industry, Beckett Cantley, who has been on the show before, he told me that his best knowledge, and for all of the people that he trusts the most in the financial industry, say 18 months tops, before you have a complete meltdown of the system.
I would believe that, if not sooner. You know, I lived through the 70s where we had almost 20% inflation during the Carter years. It can happen, and I bet it will happen again.
Hey, listen, that was stagflation, and I think we're getting close to that already because we don't have the growth in the economy or the job market, and yet you have rampant inflation because of bad policies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that's about it for me.
Ted, have a great day. Thanks for the call. All right, folks.
Thanks.
Here is just a little bit on your latest. We do have another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Hello?
It's Patty Riley.
Hey, Patty, what's up?
Hey, did you hear about Puerto Rico?
Yeah. Puerto Rico, folks, is now insolvent. It could not possibly, under any circumstances, cover its debts. Jeb Bush is calling for Chapter 9 bankruptcy for them. But as this is unfolding in Greece, it has been silently unfolding in Puerto Rico.
Yes, silently. That's the key word. And everybody really needs to understand, Greece probably will join, I will say this again, the BRICS. If people don't know what that is, they probably should go look into it.
Sounds like another brick in the wall, Patty Riley.
Yes, I know. And I'm trying to take the bricks out of the walls over here at City Hall.
You need to take the bricks out of the heads.
I'm working on that. Why? I have another question,
Kelly.
Go on,
Patty. Yes, go ahead.
Because you have such good listening capacity here. This is to our city officials and our state ones. Why aren't they talking about any of this?
Talking about what?
Any of this unfolding, this financial, anything that's emergency status right now in our country. They act like it's not existing, and that's what bugs me. It really does. We need to kind of confront these people. Is there a plan?
Yes.
Do we have a plan?
Patty, who exactly are you directing these
comments to? Well, to the people that are ruling us.
But locally or nationally?
All the way around.
Oh, okay.
Because really, locally is where we need to be concerned about. Nationally, it's going to take its course. It's coming down. Ted said it very eloquently, and it's going to come down. The collapse is coming on that end. But I'm worried, too. We're here locally, and local politicians are ignoring a lot of this.
Uh-huh.
I have not heard, a few of them. Most of them. There's a few that aren't. I respect Ben. He's not the only one. I'm just saying, we need to start having a plan on what might happen.
Okay.
It's always a good thing to have at least one plan. And I think our government officials here, if they care about us so much and are concerned about us locally, they need to start having a dialogue with us about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. They're part of this community. And it can happen. It's going to happen to them, too. I mean, they're not exclusive of all this.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thanks for the call, Patty. Have a good day. All right, folks. Had to leap out of there so we can take a little break here. We're behind on our times. There's a lot going on right now. I'm not sure Judah is able to call in today. If not, we will shift gears and move on and reschedule the show for another day. Anyway. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. This is Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Folks, there's so many things going on. I think one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life is the gay marriage decision, and yet it seems like it's just a number of decisions that are coming down that are radically impacting our lives. They say that life is changing at an incredible speed in this culture. Now, Bob Dylan, who's been called a prophet before, said life, this is said this a couple of years ago, that things are changing so fast. It's like being on an escalator that is continually increasing in speed. So I agree with that. Anyway, 6:18, we'll be right back. And there's just a lot of issues that I wanted to cover, and we're going to get into them. Oh, Kelly here. I think it's good to go into this story about Puerto Rico because it is kind of a connection over to Greece. All right, so you've got a country inside of the EU that has received enormous amount of funding. And when I was living in Ireland, I know that Ireland received, I think, 2 billion euros to improve the road infrastructure there. And as you drove around the country, you could barely tell. There were stretches of road, but not very long, but stretches of road that were improved. But mostly it was unimproved. And I said to the guy I was living with, what happened to all the money? And he said, well, the politicians got their hands on it. So that's the same kind of thing that's happening in Greece. And so there's a complete disaster. And it reminds me of an article that I read immediately after this particular president of ours was elected, that when we were going through the financial crisis, and he was talking about in this article the fact that that president didn't have any, that our president didn't have any experience in the financial crisis. Now, thank God the whole country didn't melt down, but we've never really recovered. And you have to wonder if part of that might be because of inexperience. In any event, I'm sure some of you will blame the all of the problems on the Republicans or George W. Bush. But according to Kathy, everybody who listens to the show is a Bible thumper. I hope that's not true. I know it's not true, but I'm trying to put a different angles on the same story so that so that people can have a kind of a sense that we're looking at things from more than one particular vantage point. But here is a little bit on Puerto Rico. That's the White House. That's Josh Ernst. And they're saying they're not going to bail out Puerto Rico, but they remain committed to working with Puerto Rico. But are they really going to say we're not going to work with it? We're not going to work with them. They're on their own. That's just basically gobbledygook, but here's a little bit more on Puerto Rico, the struggles, PBS. This is extraordinary. This shows you how bad the media is at getting out important information. They're basically an insolvency, and this is the first that we've heard of it. Although, for years, I've heard of stories about Puerto Rico that they were struggling financially. That's just a little bit from PBS, but the question here is, if Puerto Rico goes down, what's going to happen? If a state was bankrupted, what would happen? And, you know, we've seen cities around the United States fall into bankruptcy. The most recent one that's struggling with it is San Bernardino that I've read about. But Detroit is famous for having fallen into bankruptcy. And I would say unless they had done that, they would not be able to deal with all their debts. There was some expectation that the president would come in and take care of the debts of Detroit. But think about that. If we did that, it would just continue and make it much less likely that the city would deal with all of its incredible problems. So here's some more headlines for you. Brawl at South Carolina State House over flag, stars and stripes burning in New York City. There are now people signing their names onto petitions to get rid of the American flag. Isn't that incredible? 805-6180. I do have the text machine here. And I'm just looking through some of these texts that we got, which I'll read for you a little bit later. Kathy warned me that she had a big text for me that I guess Kathy's too sophisticated to call in. But just a lot of stuff going on. It is difficult to metabolize. It's difficult to bring in all of the changes that are going on in the country. Now, there's a couple of issues, one of which is do we want the court, the head of the federal system, the head of the federal court system, the head of all of the courts in America to be running point on all of these changes? Now, here's a question for you. Gay marriage is now popular, right? It's more popular than not. Up until a couple of years ago, every single time gay marriage came up to a vote in a state, it lost. Then federal courts got involved and overturned them to the point where it was kind of inevitable somewhere along the line the state would come in and pass it. But isn't it really, you know, I mean, isn't like, you know, they're putting a gun to our head, you know, you've got to continue to follow the federal court. The federal court has the right view of the Constitution. You don't. These people have rights in this area. It's wrong for you to stop them. It's a particular way of seeing the world, but it is not the respect for federalism. Federalism is separation of authority. So there's authority nationally, there's authority locally, and then there's an intermediate dispersion of authority. And so what it allows for is local rule. And I was telling you that the old common law system kind of highlighted that. Local opinions, local practices were brought into the law. And now we don't have that. We have, no matter how conservative the state is, the Supreme Court saying you've got to accept these certain things. I think that's a failure of vision on the part of the Supreme Court. I mean, I think it's wrong for the Supreme Court to go to states on highly controversial issues that don't appear to have any clear backing in the Constitution, whether it is Obamacare, gay marriage, or whatever, and say this is reality. We're making decisions on reality. Neither decision seemed to have a clear constitutional basis. Obviously, Obamacare didn't, because Justice Roberts didn't argue it that way. Well, he had to go back to the intent of the drafter of the law, and he had to say, certainly, the person who put this law together, the people who did not want the law to fail, because that would hurt people, therefore it has to survive. That's an absurd analysis at the constitutional level, isn't it? I mean, at the Supreme Court level. So you've got someone stepping outside of the Constitution saying, all that matters is the intent. But you can, like I said before, you can say that about any law. No law, we would say, no law is meant to harm people. I mean, if you're living in Nazi Germany, all bets are off. But we assume that American lawmakers have good intentions, even if they're mistaken in their facts. So according to that version, every law has to survive. You know, that's impossible. Constitutional standards that have to be followed, and those have always been a purification in the history of America. I was reading a book. Okay. I got this book on... It's a really fascinating book on the history of, and I had told you about something about this before. The progressive movement is 1890 to 1917, something like that. Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive. He brought in the park system and that type of thing. They said the progressive movement had religious roots and was the reason that we have a living constitution. I've gotten into maybe 10 pages of it, but it was absolutely fascinating. Anyway, I don't want to muddy the waters here. It is 6:32. We're going to come back and talk about some other topics, but let's go over. We got local stuff coming at 7. Let's go over a few more of the national stories because there's just so much out there. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Your text machine, 805-6180. We will be right back. It is 6:36, and pretty nice outside, of course. And I've got a temperature of 73. High of 97 today, low of 70, 0% chance of precipitation. I was looking at the Weather Channel yesterday and looking at the areas across the United States that they said could get some rain, and we were the entire state of New Mexico and Texas and Colorado looked like they could get some rain. All right, I'm looking at KOB.com, 4th of July celebrations. July 3rd, Electric Light Parade, 9 p.m. on Church Street. July 4th, 12 p.m., events beginning for the 4th of July celebration. Fireworks at 10, Field of Dreams Football Stadium, 2501 Tashiro Road, FYI. All right, so let us see here. I want to give you some more headlines. ISIS beheads women for first time for witchcraft and sorcery. This is incredible. All right, talking about illegals, and we got to do a show on illegals coming up because there's so much going on. Flood of illegals. Feds predict another 127,000 illegals coming in this year. Half of New York City public school students do not speak English at home. Isn't that stunning? Sacramento School District is 80% minority. North Carolina officials round up 30 MS-13 gang members over crime spree. Illegal immigrant sex offenders released into Seattle neighborhoods. It's incredible. I mean, I don't care what you think of this administration in general. You cannot have a positive view of immigration once you understand that this administration has allowed to come into America something like 60 or 70,000 violent illegals that they had every right to deport. Why would they do that? Curiosity. Even if you go for every single argument for having illegal immigrants come in and be settled across America for whatever reason, you cannot possibly support that because there's going to be victims of crimes from all of these people. And I think there's been like 100 people in America that have been murdered by these individuals. So that's just terrible. All right. Here's a little bit more on Greece because the stock market is down 350 points here. If Greece falls, and it has to fall somehow, I think, there's going to be a big impact internationally. And I'm not saying it's going to cause another depression, but where is the EU going to go? It's going to have to get rid of all these non-performing countries that are not cooperating. And you've got a person who's leading the government there who's to the far, far left. He's basically a Marxist. He's standing up to these bankers. He's standing up to these officials in the EU, telling him to shove it up, you know, where the sun doesn't shine over these loans. And now he doesn't, you know, Greece doesn't have sympathy, and it's a total disaster. You've got people that have no interest in statecraft, statesmanship, leadership by, you know, a humble leadership, and now Greece is really on the verge of total disaster. And they say it could get a lot worse. Here's the clip from Bloomberg. How much worse could it get? Well, can you imagine if that happened here? And I mean, these people are not freaking out. And one of the reasons they're not freaking out is because they have been taken care of by the EU for so long. And basically, they've been allowed to have an underperforming economy with an enormous amount of corruption in it. And despite that, they've been given investments and all kinds of stuff from the government. It's a total disaster as a model. It has to stop at some point. Would the, you know, a billion and a half or billion point 1.3 billion payment doesn't strike us as much because we've become very, you know, we've become somewhat cynical towards these big numbers. But what you should think about is this: if the financial system becomes unstable, what happens? Well, let's just say it happened in America. Why do people hoard gold? They hoard gold because, or silver. because if the dollar falls, the gold always has worth. Silver always has worth. Financial system falls, though. There's no easy way to trade gold because you would have to establish what it was worth, which would be difficult. And then what are you supposed to do? Saw a little piece off your gold bar? So there's no good answer if the financial system falls. But when it does fall, the money becomes worthless. Although they're using the EU over there, let's just say they stopped, the bank shut down, so that they don't all collapse. People stop selling things because there's no way to establish a price on them. So anyway, that's the situation that they're in. We've seen it in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is just starting to pull out of this. Zimbabwe started with the government attacking white farmers. The land from the white farmers was given to the poor blacks over there, and then the farms were not productive, and then the economy went into just absolute free fall, and they've got something like a zillion percent inflation a month or something over there. So they're switching over, I think, to the U.S. dollar. Anyway, 646, this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. This is Kelly O'Connell. Try to get to your text when we come back. I got a little clip, if I have time for it, on this issue of revivals and revolution. I'll be right back. All right, so we've got this period of time in which let me just give you some quick analysis here, very, very fast. It is unfair to blame gay people for gay marriage. Gay marriage is the end, the inevitable result of the sexual revolution. You can't give all this freedom to everybody else and then expect gay people not to participate in it. At the same time, the sexual revolution has been a total disaster, and I deal with that every day in my law practice. The kids that are alienated from their parents, the poverty, the anger between the physical altercations. A great deal of that comes back to a broken idea of what it means to be a parent or have a family. It's heartbreaking. So it is inevitable that if you at some point say it's okay to be gay, it's okay to adopt or hang out with each other, live together, that they're going to want a piece of the American pie too. So the fault is on the American society if you disagree with it. All right, so here's the potential for many of our problems to be solved because, I mean, you're absolutely out of your mind if you think gay people are causing the problem in the family in this country. That was started a long time ago. But anyway, here's a potential answer. All right, so there's a little clip on that. I'm sure there's better ones out there, but the idea is that the colonial pulpits, the ministers were going through, the ministers at that period of time were extremely intellectual people, and in a lot of this dispersion from Europe, the brightest ministers came over, and they would have not just been studying theology, they would have been studying the sciences and other things too. Jonathan Edwards was well regarded as a scientific mind. Anyway, here we go. Kathy says, I'm not listening, but it's my bet that you're all talking on how horrible the gay ruling is. It affects you in no way personally, but it offends your beliefs and, of course, how you believe. It also the best for everyone else. You pathetic, tight rear ends need to get on with your lives. That's a metaphor there. And stop trying to control what others do. Remember life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, freedom. Kathy, the Bible thumpers know exactly what God wants. He spoke to them in their minds, and they were able to interpret and relate to the rest of us what he wants. BS. Jesus welcomed the fringes of society, especially people who love you. Bible thumpers are the sinners, Kathy. No church will be required to marry a gay couple. It's a civil union. Well, I don't know about that. All right, I'm not a Bible thumper, but I listen to your show. You ask Obama why he let these criminals into our country. It's because Obama has zero respect for this country, her language, her traditions, her borders. This is payback for our past sins against the rest of the world. The enemy within these within threatens us more than the enemy outside. And all right, so there's a few notes, especially from Kathy. All right, so it's 6:59, and in theory, Walt Rubel is going to come in. If not, we will spin back into our topics. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be back.
It is impossible technically to they can.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I've got nothing that I really wanted to bring up today. I don't even know what's happening in Puerto Rico. No, it's kind of the same thing with Greece. So what is the obligation to the United States? If that's the question?
I mean, it's not a state, it's a territory, that's right. I
Have you ever been there?
I have. Have you?
I didn't meet a lot of Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, I think for whatever reason they tended to migrate farther north up into the future.
Yeah. I guess maybe because there's other Puerto Ricans.
Yeah,
up there.
I'm sure that's right.
Okay, I got a question for you on this SpaceX ship that just blew up. Here with Walt Rubel, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Dred Scott decision. It was a perfect example of Supreme Court overreach resulting in the 14th Amendment. Perfect example right there. And the only reason I'm calling back is I'm still so super excited over last week's everything going great. For us liberals and what do you call it, BHO. What do you think of that?
What do you think about
Dred Scott?
I agree that you're excited. Dred Scott was a landmark decision, and that it stated that no matter what any particular state wanted to do, you could not disenfranchise blacks. So you took the U.S. Constitution and applied it to the states through the 14th Amendment, right?
No, No, the 14th Amendment is the Equal Protection Clause. As a result, it's countered. Dred Scott Supreme Court said blacks were not equal. And
right.
Then that's where the whole thing, I don't have exactly that. I'm just saying Dred Scott was a perfect example.
13th and 14th Amendment. 13th Amendment gets rid of slavery. 14th Amendment applies the federal constitution of the states, the Bill of Rights and everything.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to keep it simple here. Dred Scott was a perfect example of Supreme Court overreach and has nothing at all in comparison to John Roberts, by the way, who was not around during the Gore v. He was you know, dummy as kick, you know, along with Alito. But the point being is that what he did is interpreted just because of semantics in the way the legislation wrote BHO care. That's the only reason.
But what
What
is a law? A law is semantics. A law is statements on a piece of paper. Let me ask you this. If you concluded that Judge Roberts had gone beyond the text of the law and really outside of the Constitution, would you still support his ruling?
Yes.
So
you know
support, hold on. You support public policy over the Constitution. Haven't you therefore made America a non-constitutional state?
No, you're saying if it weren't the other way around, if Roberts would have voted against BHO care, I would have said, okay, fine. That's how he interpreted it. That's what his job is.
So
the point
it doesn't
is,
matter.
Frankie,
it doesn't matter if it's constitutional. It's just as long as he's doing his job of interpretation. That's what it means to be a Supreme Court justice.
Well, of course, that's what they're all there for. They interpret the Constitution. That's their job.
He's not interpreting the Constitution. He's setting it aside for he basically admits it, and that's all the criticism. It's not a constitutional decision because it's not based on the text of the law. It's setting aside the text of the law and saying what's the intent of the drafter of the law. But wouldn't that save every law ever drafted?
I'm totally lost. I'm so convoluted on that. I don't know where you're coming from. I'm just saying
nine
Supreme Court justices are there to interpret the Constitution.
Hold on. Obviously, they're there or they would do another job. They'd be working at McDonald's or whatever. But
hold on a second,
Frankie. I'm just trying to make the point that if the only measure was the intention of the person who drafted the law, then all laws would be saved, right? Because they wouldn't have to be constitutional or not. It would just mean that the drafter had a good intent. That's all you would have to show.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. And you use the same thing in criminal law. You're a lawyer. You use intent. What was this person's intent to create this? I mean, you use intent every day in criminal law. You do that. You know that.
Okay. Criminal law is the same as constitutional law. Anyway, thanks for the call, Frankie. All right, we got 1 minute.
Okay.
So we were talking real quickly off the air about the SpaceX.
Well, okay, so this SpaceX explodes.
Yeah.
And do we need NASA to come back and reassert itself and get this gosh dang local base up and running?
I hope not. I mean, because we poured zillions and zillions of government money into NASA, and now we are turning that over to private enterprise.
Yeah, we do have one more call. Thanks for the call. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, just briefly, though.
Yes, this is Susan. Just as an example on what Frankie is trying to say, the Constitution flat out states in the beginning, says all men are created equal. Now, here's how the courts should translate.
We're running out of time, Susan. Susan, we're running out of time. Can you call back tomorrow on this?
Certainly.
Thank you. All right, we got about 40 seconds here. So anyway, Walt, and NASA?
Well, they have turned it over to private enterprise. That is, you know, in theory, what the conservative viewpoint would want them to do. It's been tough. It's been a struggle. But we forget that there were two deadly, Challenger and Columbia explosions when it was NASA. So Mark Kelly, who is up on the space shuttle, not the space shuttle, the space station, he had it right. He sent out a tweet that says space is hard.
All right, so I guess it is hard. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in. We had Walt in. Thanks for coming in today. A little bit of spirited discussion with Walt. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 on KOBE. And that's Blog Talk Radio. You can go and listen to the show if you want to. Blog Talk Radio, Kelly O'Connell. Have a great day. We'll come back tomorrow. I've got my buddy Doug coming on to talk more about the Supreme Court. See you then. Bye-bye.